G'day, I'm Mark, and welcome to episode 345 of Erg Pod. Day 9, Sunday, the 28th of August 2011. Coming to you from Edinburgh, Scotland. And apologies in advance for the voice, I know it does sound a lot different than normal. Although, I'll explain that and a lot more. Now, the last time you would have heard me would have been during the Touristy Things episode in London, episode 343, and the new Metropolitan Train episode 344. During the start of those episodes, I was feeling fine. Although, towards the last couple of days of the London trip, I started to feel very second-hand. Now, I don't know if it's a result of all the travel I've been doing, the amount of times that I was caught in the rain in London, the constant changes in temperature. Like, you go to Madrid where it's stinking hot, then you go to France, and then you go to London, and it's basically like the Australian winter. And my body is like, dude, what are you doing to me? And In London, I did have a massive time where I was basically, with the exception of the last couple of days, I was not in the hotel room before midnight, being at various gigs, hanging out with various music podcasters and just basically having a lot of fun in London. It basically got to the point there where I was going to the London Eye, and I'd got my ticket on the Eurostar. I'd planned ahead, I waited in line, and I'm like, oh man, this is just not worth it. I was feeling very ill, so I didn't go on the London Eye. I didn't do a lot of the touristy sort of things that I wanted to in London, although there's so much to see there, it is unbelievable, and definitely worth another visit back. Over the last few days just gone, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was in Sheffield, or nearabouts to Sheffield in the north of England, hanging out with Dave and Caroline from the Bunkcast, and their two delightful children, Amy and Cara. Absolutely great few days just to chill out, relax a bit, hang out. Not necessarily do any of the touristy stuff. A lot of music talk, a lot of laughs, and a lot of good fun was had by all. You'll be able to hear, and if I remember, I'll put links in the show notes. I appeared on episode 174 of the Bunkcast, so that was an interesting experience. It's always great to be able to rock up and just basically be you, not necessarily have to bring anything to the table, so to speak, although I did contribute some great Australian music, and as it turned out, I actually changed the whole dynamic of the show, because where Dave and Caroline usually podcast, there's just enough room for them. And so, with a bit of extra equipment that I'd brought with me, we decided to go into the lounge, and it was quite cosy. And so that was episode 174 of the Bunkcast. Also from the pod crawl, I produced episode 180 of Erk FM, and Colin from the Ouroboros podcast produced episode 194 of his podcast, the Ouroboros podcast, which is also out now. So you'll be able to get an alternative view of the pod crawl the previous weekend. And it's quite ironic because I stir Colin up about him being a music podcast and talking a lot, whereas on Erk FM episode 180, I played two songs in about 2 and a bit hours, and Colin actually played more music on his pod crawl special than what I did. So quite ironic there, but quite a good time. Colin went into a bit more detail than what I did about some of the events that happened there. But it's always good, you get a couple of people to a couple of points of view of the same event. So a couple of good train trips there from London to Sheffield, couple of hours, and then 4 hours from Sheffield to Edinburgh, which is where I am now. I arrived late-ish Saturday night, the 27th of August, and I am now basically planning to be here for a few days, then head off to Glasgow, down to Liverpool, a day trip to Dublin, and then head back in the general direction of London. I have a confirmed gig that I'll be going to. I'll be going to see Never the Bride in the London area on the 10th of September. I'm hoping to bump into Nick Tan. I'm hoping to bump into Jordan Rain. There's a couple other people that I'm hoping to bump into. I'm hoping to bump into Brendan Safe from This Reality Cast here in Oxford. Hopefully see them on the way back. It would be really awesome if I could bump into UK Medic 999. I actually went through his area yesterday. So that would be cool, although he's a very busy boy at the moment. And of course, one of the reasons why I'm here was because A, I was going to come here anyway. B, my friend Amy, who spoke to me about Europe and got me all excited about Europe last year when she was here. Unfortunately, she couldn't make the trip because of health reasons, but she kept on saying to me, dude, you've got to hit Edinburgh, it's a really nice city. And I dare say, not that I didn't believe her, of course, I trust her when it comes down to travel and all that sort of stuff. But it is a... pardon me. It is a... really pretty city. I've got the added benefit at the moment of it being the tail end of the Fringe Festival, so there's lots of things going on this time of the morning. I dare say would be a little bit strange. Actually, it is approaching 10:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, and so where I'm staying at the moment is actually one of the Fringe Festival venues. The Fringe Festival's mainly about stand-up comedy, although there are other sorts of performances as well. But a lot of it seems to do with stand-up comedy and that sort of thing. And I dare say that over the next few days, if I was to basically not leave the street where I'm on, there's enough free entertainment to do me for quite some time. There is so much going on in and around Edinburgh because of the Fringe Festival. Now, I dare say that there'd be quite a few people sleeping it off after a hard Saturday night. There's certainly a lot of places around here to take part in the festivities. Of course, you've also got, this is the sort of the checkout time in the morning, so if you're actually moving on to somewhere else, if you're actually moving on somewhere else, well, you know, you're sort of getting up, getting around. As we sort of speak now, if you're here and you're going to stay here, you're sort of torn between the need of wanting to get some sleep and feel half human, or do you indeed get up and try and get maximum bang out of your buck, so to speak. And I dare say that will be some people will just think, screw it, I'll just go ahead and get some sleep. Because a lot of the things won't kick off until at least lunchtime. Maybe closer to like 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon. And go on well into the night. So, as I was warned about, and as I've experienced for myself in London, the weather is overcast. Dare say we might get some rain. It is jacket weather. I know I've had a couple of different people tell me that. I remember saying to one of my music podcasting friends, Sarah, when's a good time to come to England weather? Come to England weather-wise. And she said to me, oh, just make sure you pick the right 3 weeks of the year and you'll be right. And I dare say that's pretty true. Now, of course, some people sort of love this sort of weather. And I know if the temperature goes north of 30 degrees, they melt. Out of the whole trip, I've had 2 awesome weeks of weather, one in Madrid, one in Tokyo. And, you know, the occasional nice day other than that, but, yeah, there has been a lot of grey as well. There has been a lot of grey. So this morning I'm basically getting my bearings around Edinburgh. There's a big difference between getting your bearings when you've got a whole heap of luggage and you just want to be able to get to the hotel as quick as you can, and then you've got what you can do when you don't have your luggage, so you can just walk around, stop wherever you want to and do all that sort of stuff. I dare say there's going to be a lot of work for people to clean up old posters and that sort of stuff, of acts that have never been and have been and gone. But considering how many people are around and how busy things were downtown, it's relatively clean, I have to say. People do come from around the world to experience the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Basically, we run through most of August. And a lot of the acts are free, which is quite cool. You know, if there's one sort of week, if it's like the grand final of stand-up comedy that you'll hear a lot of stand-up comedians bang on about, it would be the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So for the first time, actually, of the first time that I can remember during the UK trip, I'm actually going to go to a Tesco. I need some food, I need some drink. Oh, I see Pepsi for half price. Sweet. I'll be back soon.
Looking for great quality, independent and unsigned music? You found it on Tracks Radio, now featuring IRC FM. down the pipes and into your ears each and every Friday on irkfm.com and tracksradio.com every Friday and Saturday.
Welcome back to episode 345 of Irk Pod, coming to you from downtown Edinburgh in Scotland. It's just after lunchtime. It's about 10 minutes to 1 o'clock as I try and keep out of the wind somewhat. It is a really, really, really cold day. To say that it would be 20 degrees would be very, very generous. 20 degrees Celsius, of course, would be very, very generous. On the bus on the way downtown, I saw a poster for Michael Winslow, and that he is at the Fringe Festival. Now, you might not recognise the name, but you'd certainly recognise the voices. Or if I told you it was the guy from Police Academy who made all the different noises and sound effects with his mouth. So I went on to Google and I found that he's actually performing tonight and tomorrow night as I'm recording this. So I am just on my way to try and find the venue and to purchase a ticket. It's interesting in a way that the first Police Academy movie came out so long ago. I was reading on Mum's website that there's actually talk of a Police Academy 8. Please don't. Is Hollywood that deprived of ideas for movies that we're going to have possibly Police Academy 8? Really? I have to say, I probably enjoyed the first five. The first one, of course, was outstanding. And then I think Police Academy 5, Assignment Miami Beach, from memory. That was really cool too. But I don't know, with all of the money that's out there, with all the supposedly creative ideas out there, the best we can come up with is Police Academy 8 and the Smurfs in 3D, really? Now, it's quite interesting because the Smurfs are out in 3D. There's the final Harry Potter movies. There's like Final Destination 5. And then we've got all the related Friends with Benefits type movies. And so Hollywood is definitely struggling for ideas. And when you think about something like the Smurfs movie, and I have seen various buses in various cities plastered with and outdoor advertising plastered with the Smurfs in 3D. Now, I can remember being a small child, and my mum Judy, she would go to the BP service station, and when she filled up the car with petrol, she'd get me a Smurf if I'd behaved. Now, I can't remember exactly how much the little Smurf was, but there was a whole collection that you could get of all the different Smurfs, and I think it was a different Smurf each week. And then eventually they started selling for more cost the little Smurf houses and all of that sort of stuff. But it's funny that, you know, 20 or so years later, after the cartoon series on TV and the merchandising and everything, are they hoping that people my age and the like are going to take their kids to see the movie, even though we're going there for ourselves? Or are we going to say, hey, these were popular when I was a kid, you know, let's see what it's all about? But yes, I definitely think that Hollywood is running out of ideas when it comes to movies, that's for sure. Speaking of ideas, the train ride yesterday from Sheffield to Edinburgh certainly gave me a lot of time to think. It was about 4 hours, as I said earlier. And it led me to think about the future of Channel Irk and what's happening and everything like that. Now, when I started podcasting in May 2007, of course, this was well and truly before Channel Irk. You know, I'd never even thought of the possibility of my mum podcasting with me. And the thought of doing a music podcast was slightly horrifying to me at the time when I first started. Fast forward 4 years, of course. My mum is podcasting with me. We've Blast for the Past and also her own music show, Judy's Blast FM, and she's really enjoying it. And of course, my main music show, Irk FM, comes down the pipes and into your ears each and every Friday, with additional content as required, interviews and the like, coming to you on Tuesdays. Of course, coming up in October, when I return from Europe, we will see the launch of Irk FM Metal Monday. So it's not going to be any surprise to think that I've been thinking a lot about music lately. I've been hanging out with music podcasters, I've been going to gigs, and of course I was going out to lots of gigs in Australia. I have been receiving a lot of music while I've been away, from my usual sources and from some new sources as well. And I am receiving such a lot of music just based on that is sent to me, not alone gigs that I go to, or if I decided to look up certain sites themselves. So basically, I have a lot of excellent music coming to me down the yin yang. And considering that for 15 weeks it will be by the time I get back, that I would not have actually recorded a Friday episode of Irk FM, because the Friday episodes have all been pre-recorded before I left Australia, and I haven't hidden that fact. And then of course we've got the Tuesday content that I've been doing since I've been over here. You'll be hearing Dave and Caroline from the Bugcast, you'll be hearing Matt Stevens. I recorded me and Jordan Rain live in their separate gigs, and I am in the process of listening to those and also basically checking to see if they're okay for to be podcast or not. I know I have discussed it with me as I try and I try and determine if they're up to the quality or not. So basically, I got music coming out of the yin yang, and every week I get at least 4 emails from Juice Management and Promotion. I get an email a week at least from Ariel Publicity, Cyber PR, Bender Music Group, and there's a whole heap of others that I regularly use. Heaps of great music coming towards me, plus bands that I go and see. So I'm thinking that once a week isn't enough for Irk FM. When Irk FM started, it started to be about an hour, up to 10 songs roughly for an hour. With the current pre-recorded shows, they're running up to an hour and a half, 2 hours, with 15 songs, very minimal commentary. Then of course you've got the Tuesday content, you've got my occasional contributions to Ampton New Music Weekly every 10 weeks, and it's my week coming up. And then, of course, you have my monthly episodes of Insomnia Radio Australia, as I try once again to keep out of the wind. So, what I'm thinking, and I stress that at this point this is only a thought, and what I was thinking on the train. My focus has changed. My priorities have changed. My motivations have changed. Now, regular listeners to Erkpod would know that some months ago I decided to basically stop talking about the news and everything like that, because it really wasn't adding anything. It was a way of giving you content that necessarily didn't mean anything. And I don't want to be one of these podcasters who are a talk podcaster, who basically repeat the same thing each and every time. Now, sure, I have interesting stuff that goes on in my life, and this trip to Europe is a classic example of interesting stuff that happens to my life. But of course, when I get back to Australia at the end of September, and when I go back to work at the start of October, there's going to be, you know, the normal sort of things that happens in one's day-to-day life. And so maybe I'm thinking it's time that I fired Erkpod out of a cannon and took it off the Wednesday schedule, took it off the weekly schedule. And so what I'm basically thinking, and I stress these are thoughts only at this stage, under a new plan, there would be Judy's Blast FM on Sunday. There would be Erk FM Metal Monday on Monday. Tuesday would be Erk FM Extra, which would be interviews and the like on Tuesdays as required. On Wednesday, there would be an Erk FM episode, as there would be on Fridays, and Blast from the Past remaining on Saturday. Now, Thursday, of course, that was the day where A Moment in Time happened. Before that, that was a time when Echo Romeo Kilo, my ambient noise podcast, happened. I was just trying to listen to this hot Scottish chick's phone conversation. And so I'm thinking, now I haven't worked out which day, but let's say on the Wednesday Erk FM episode, I would feature Australian music. And then on the Friday episode, I would feature foreign music from anywhere basically but Australia. And so that would mean that the time that I basically spend doing Erkpod, and I wonder, you know, does anybody really care about the content anymore? Especially when I return home. If I've got something interesting to say, well, I might say it and release it on a Thursday, but if not, well, who cares? And be more talking about having more of a focus on the music. So I'm wondering, is it time to fire Erkpod out of a cannon? If you have any thoughts on it, let me know. I stress that they are plans only. Erk FM Metal Monday will continue. Judy's Blast from the Past and Blast FM, they will continue. And there will still be a Friday episode of Erk FM, and there will still be interviews as required on Tuesdays. Now, I haven't spoken to my mum about these yet. We've had some issues getting in contact with each other, with time zones and the like. But I'm kind of thinking that it might be time to end Erkpod on a high when I return from... So basically I'll have the European content and then that'll be it. I'm not sure, only thinking of that at the moment. But yeah, there's a time for things to die and I don't know. Speaking of things that are happening and shooting things out of cannons, it's just clicked over to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I've been told, now this might only be at the castle, but I've been told that at 1 o'clock they fire cannons to mark that it's 1 o'clock. Now, according to my phone, it's now 3 minutes past one. I haven't heard anything resembling cannon fire. So I dare say I might have to be at the castle to do it. So my immediate priority is to find the venue, and then I'm going on a tourist coach ride back soon.
G'day, I'm Irk from Irk FM and Insomnia Radio Australia. And what happens if I add some of this? And I mix it with some of this. And I mix it with some of this. And some of this. And some of this. Wait, if you want me to scream out of something, I won't take this. Leaving you open for something you know isn't real. No, I believe. Add all those together and more, and you will have the latest podcast on Channel Irk. Irk FM Metal Monday, coming in October 2011.
This is as I say, the wealthier part. It was a separate borough from Edinburgh. As we come up, if you look across to your right-hand side, Clorinda was one of Robert Burns' mistresses, and her real name was Agnes McElhose. And I wonder, would anybody eat in a tea room called Agnes McElhose's Tea Room? But they call it Clorinda's and everybody goes in. There's lots of quirky wee places up here to eat, and the pubs as well. Will you look at that rain? I'm really sorry about this. We try and put the weather on for you, but it never quite works. Now, the other, as we come up here, we're just coming up to the church where Zara Phillips was married in a few weeks ago. The Queen's granddaughter was married up here a few weeks ago. It's the church for the palace. The original church for the palace was the Abbey. The Abbey was built first, as I say, in 1128 by King David I. He built the Abbey to repent for his sins because he hunted on a Sunday, which was a sin. I wish they'd make playing golf a sin, see who would repent about that in my house. But he built the Abbey to thank the Lord for his existence because he was almost gored to death by a stag on a Sunday. And when his life was saved, he built the Abbey. The palace came much later, early 16th century. The palace was refurbished by James V. He was getting married to Henry VIII's sister, and she wanted the palace all done up before she moved into it. If you look across, there's the Canongate Kirk there, and that is the church that the Queen goes to. If you look above the big window there, there's the royal crest there. There's the stag's head, because King David I was saved when the stag's head, he was distracted by something shining in his face. Now, if you go into the church, you can actually visit that church, and the church, the seat at the front's got a little crown on it, because that's where the Queen sits. That guy striding down the Royal Mile there on your right-hand side, he's Robert Ferguson. He was the first poet to write in the Scottish tongue, and he was said to inspire Robert Burns, who came after him, to write in the Scottish. So that was like all the sort of Scots-Swahili, Wallace Glen, all that kind of Scottishness was Robert Ferguson. Now, he's actually buried in that graveyard, as is Clorinda. Robert Burns is one of his mistresses. Robert Burns, the greatest Scot of all time, 13 children to 5 women, died when he was 37. Sure, no. No link there, 37, 13 children, 5 women. Now, there's another wee museum on the right hand side there, the People's Story. If you go in there, it's on 3 levels. You get to the top, there's a video, and it's real Edinburgh people talking about what the town was like in the 60s. On the left hand side there, the Museum of Edinburgh, it's full of artefacts of Edinburgh, including the world's most famous dog's bowl and collar, Greyfriars Bobby. Has everybody heard of Greyfriars Bobby? Of course you have. The dog that lay on his master's grave for 12 years after his master died, and loyally, and on his gravestone in Greyfriars Kirkyard, it says, "Let his loyalty be a lesson to us all." That's just down off. We don't pass it on this bus, no. So the other bus passes Greyfriars Bobby. Now the toll booth was actually the prison, and further up the Royal Mile, where the St Giles sits, there is a heart of stone outside St Giles, the High Kirk of St Giles. Now, that was where the Tolbooth prison was. And the Tolbooth prison, the heart outside is said to depict the centre of the city. Don't walk across it, because everybody spits on it, and it's said to bring you luck if you spit on the heart of Midlothian. But it depicts the exact centre of Edinburgh. And the heart is also said to say the Tolbooth prison, the pounding hearts of the people in the Tolbooth prison, because there was no prison sentences, everybody was condemned. You didn't serve a 5-year sentence, you were killed, you were hanged, or you were taken up to the castle to be hung, drawn and quartered. And you were hung and drawn first, you were drawn first, they would cut bits of you off, open you up with a meat cleaver, pull out all your intestines, and at some point you passed out, and then they hung you. And then after they hung you, they put you on the Netherport Gate, which just sat up here. If you see some of these old shops down here, some of the, not the whiskey shop, but some of the old shops that have got prints of Edinburgh and old books, you'll see the old parts of Edinburgh with a Netherport Gate going across, and you'll see there's often, when the English offended us or they captured our castle and we captured them back, you would quite often see the odd head displayed on the Netherport Gate on the spikes. And that's how, in some of these little galleries, you will see some of the old pictures of Edinburgh with the ports were the gates going across. Now, there are some Scottish people on the bus, so I'm going to ask, how many people have tasted a deep fried Mars bar? You have?
Not here.
Not here. Well, it's said to be the typical Scottish diet. Apparently, that's what we eat all the time. Now, you can actually get a deep-fried Mars bar up the Royal Mile here. It's a mere 6,000 calories, served with a portion of chips and brown sauce. On your left-hand side there, that was Murray House. It used to be Murray House Teachers Training College, and that's where J.K. Rowling, the authoress of Harry Potter, trained to be a primary school teacher. She was a primary school teacher. Also, if you're in and around Edinburgh, you'll see where she wrote Harry Potter in a cafe called Spoon's Cafe in Southbridge. You will see other cafes who say that was the birthplace of Harry Potter, and it wasn't. Because if you go into Spoon's Cafe, you'll actually see a little certificate on the wall that's signed by J.K. Rowling saying she wrote Harry Potter in Spoon's Cafe, not in the other place. And her brother-in-law owned Spoon's Cafe, and she was a single mum, and she was skint. There's no way she could have sat in the other place and bought herself coffee all day. If you've been in that other place and bought yourself a coffee, there's no way she could afford to sit in there all day. But her brother-in-law plied her with coffee, and she wrote Harry Potter. And I showed you the Hogwarts, the inspiration for Hogwarts.
Hi, this is Devo Spice, and you're listening to IRC FM. What? You are? Hi, this is Devo Spice, and you're listening to Blast from the Past in the present, somehow. I'm confused. Hi, this is Devo Spice, and you're listening to Judy's Blast FM. Boom. No boom? I want a boom.
Well, it wouldn't be Scotland without some bagpipe music, would it? Welcome back to episode 345 of IRC Pod. Coming to you from Edinburgh, Scotland. It is now Monday morning, the 29th or the 30th of August. The 29th. It's a bank holiday in the UK. Lots of people are out and about. And I had a very interesting night at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Actually, to be totally correct, there was actually two Edinburgh Fringe Festivals going on. There's actually two Edinburgh Fringe Festivals going on. There's the quote-unquote real Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where there's a lot of stuff you have to pay to see. And then there's the quote-unquote alternative Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where it's basically everything's free, but at the end of each performance, the performers ask for a donation. So I was actually quite lucky because, pardon me, the hotel where I'm staying is actually a venue for the free festival. And so I went and saw some performance. The first guy was alright. I can't remember his name at the moment, unfortunately, but he was a magician and he was talking about the human brain and how you can predict various things with a lot of audience participation. Then the next guy, unfortunately, there's 20 or 30 minutes of my life that I won't get back. The dude's name was Ryan. He was from Australia, unfortunately, and he was about as funny as a fart in an elevator. His material was probably written by the Australian TV performer Rove. Very unfunny. And when you have to resort to doing impressions as a major source of your laughs, and such impressions weren't even good, you know, trying to make stand-up comedy like a radio show, don't know about that so much. And, it just wasn't funny at all. So I heckled him a bit. And so, and I think I got underneath his skin too. At one stage he's looking for people to do an impression of, and this black guy at the front of the audience says, "Do Samuel L. Jackson!" And the dude's like, "No, I'm not going to do Samuel L. Jackson, I might offend you, dude." I'm like, "Seriously?" And so he's, so I've yelled out, "Mr. T!" And, you know, he's told me where to go. So a bit later, he's come back for impressions because he's not getting any laughs any other way. And, so I yelled out, "Comedian dying on stage!" And, he didn't see the funny side to that, because he was doing a rather good impression of a comedian dying on stage. Thank you. Now, the next guy that I went and saw, he was very, very funny, and he is actually going to be the subject of the next episode of Erkpod. Now, of course, as you remember from weeks ago, I was in Japan, and so when I saw that I had the chance to see a Japanese comedian, I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. And so you'll hear more about that on the next episode. But basically, what he does, he talks a lot about Japanese people and the failings that they have with the English language. Hiroshi, my mate, my new friend Hiroshi, very happy to see me. I spoke to him after the podcast. Sorry, after the podcast, really. I spoke to him after the show. The crowd absolutely loved him. It was outstanding. And a lot of the humour was fit into the "it's funny because it's true" category. And that definitely was the case. And I could identify with it more, having been in Japan. And so after the show, I spoke to him, as did a few other people. And one advantage of having the venue and my hotel being in the same building, if I had have been out and about and at a separate venue away from the hotel, I would have had my recording gear with me. But because I didn't, because I was back at the hotel, I just left the recording gear, left the bag, left everything with me. In the hotel. Yeah, left everything at the hotel. Because I know there are some places that are really ultra sensitive about people with recording equipment and whatnot. So I didn't want to take that chance. And because of the hotel being in the same venue, I left it in the hotel room. I didn't think that, you know, that I wasn't actually going to interview anyone. I just thought, oh yeah, I'll just go along and listen to some good comedy, hopefully, and that'll be good. So I raced back to the hotel room, got my Wall of Fame, my piece of canvas that I'm getting everyone to sign who has been on the podcast, and got my recorder, came back, asked him to sign my wall. He did that, so he wrote on it in English and in Japanese, which was quite cool. I've never actually seen anyone actually write Japanese in front of me. Because he was doing it in a Sharpie pen, some of the characters might be a bit hard to read. But then again, having said that, it was pretty cool to see him actually do it. So he wrote what he wanted to write in English first, and then I said, oh, can you write the same in Japanese? He says, I'll do my best. Some of it might not translate well. And so you've got to admire Northbridge as another Scotsman playing the bagpipes on another corner. I dare say there will be a few around today. Northbridge is exactly where I want, which is exactly where I want to go, which is awesome. So I pulled out the recorder and I said, if you got time now, could I do an interview? So I did an interview, and that interview will be on the next episode, including some of Hiroshi's comedy. So you'll get an idea during the interview why I found him so funny. and he's also very, very modest. And very happy that I showed an interest in his work. And while some of it might be stereotypical, and I dare say that some people might actually consider some of it to be even racist, the funny thing about the whole thing, in many instances it's funny because it's true. Now I wonder, now if I was to go to Japan as a stand-up comic, and I would say to you, you know, you people can't speak English properly because you have problems pronouncing your R's and your L's and all that sort of stuff. Not funny. You know, possibly offensive, possibly international incident. Japanese man does it, especially in Edinburgh. And, you know, lots of laughs, comedy in shoes. Lots of people like him. That's like a podcast that I've just started recently listening to, Intellectually Shallow with Matt and Renee. And they've got an expression on there which is very true. Dog bites man, not a story. Man bites dog, that's a story. So, and that's exactly the same here. English guy pokes fun of Japanese language, not funny, potentially racist. Japanese man does it, very funny. And it actually must take a fair bit of courage to go up there and to perform the sort of act that he actually does. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you in the next episode. I thought that it deserved an episode of itself. ErkPod 346. Now the funny thing about it is, of course, that yesterday, as I record this, or earlier on in the episode, I was banging on about losing the passion for ErkPod and just basically wondering out loud if I should just concentrate on the music podcast. Then I came to things like last night, and I'm wondering if it should just, you know, I don't know what I'm thinking at the moment. I really enjoy doing interviews, and I do a fair few music interviews. I haven't really done any talky interviews because with people who aren't in the music scene. Until last night. And I have to say I really enjoyed it. But then again, that also depends on the subject. So, as I said earlier, I was basically thinking out loud. Nothing's been locked in as yet. But yes, I do enjoy the interview. So maybe a change of day and not weekly, and a change of format might be handy. I'm standing outside a kilt shop, just in case you're wondering. And what you get here through the speakers of the shop sounds like a bagpipe version of Thunderstruck by AC/DC. I've got to say, I got to really commend these guys who could do the whole kilt thing. It has been so cold in Edinburgh. It has been so cold, but such a lot of fun as well. Yesterday, I went on 3 coach tours. I went on 3 double deck coach tours. 2 of them were with an actual tour guide, rather than the traditional plug your headphones in sort of thing. And I found out some very interesting things about the town, although then again I also knew that it was very cold, very wet and very uncomfortable. As I found out, Edinburgh is a very hilly town, and what they've done in some places to sort of level things out is create a series of bridges. I'm actually on one now, North Bridge. But they built it in such a way that you wouldn't necessarily know that you're on this massive bridge. As far as you know, unless you know what you're looking for, and there's a couple of places where you can see the arches, you wouldn't know that you are on an actual bridge. And of course, having the having an actual tour guide with an actual Scottish accent and interacting with the people on the bus was cool. I remember getting onto the second bus and it was a female tour guide, and I happened to be the only dude on the bus apart from the driver. And she says, "Oh, hi, Maddie, you're the only man on the bus apart from the bus driver." She says, "Is that okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's fine, no problem." She says, "Don't worry, we'll look after you." So that was quite cool. I'm actually staying on a street called Cowgate, and the funny thing about Cowgate is that it was originally where they used to herd the cows to take them up to the market, up to Grass Market, which is where just up the road from where I'm staying. So that was cool. Also, earlier on in the episode, I was wondering about things being shot out of a cannon. And did I miss it? The only reason that I actually missed it is because they actually don't fire the cannon on Sundays, and it was Sunday yesterday. You can hear it in some parts. Pardon me. You can hear the cannon in some parts of the city. Although the advice that I got yesterday was that the best place to be to hear the cannon and to get the full kaboom is to be at the actual castle itself, and that's where I intend to be to close this episode up in about an hour or so. Oh wow, one of the artists that we've had on Channel Oak was at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, Studio B. Moving Melvin Brown. Just singing and dancing. You can do it. Reading from the poster. He's actually on tonight. That's very interesting. We're actually coming up to the end of the Fringe Festival, but not surprisingly, I tried to get tickets to see Michael Winslow yesterday, but they were booked out. So it was a very interesting day. Yesterday, seeing some comedy. Afterwards, I went to a burlesque club, expecting to see some burlesque dancers.
6 minutes.
I was a bit disappointed. Sure, the ladies were dressed up in corsets and everything. But to me, a burlesque club is one where they actually have burlesque dancers, rather than women who just simply dress up. There's no actual dancing going on, which was a bit disappointing because I was in the mood for some burlesque last night. You know, I've heard about it. I know of various people who have been involved, but or who are interested. But I've never actually been to a show myself. And there was this burlesque bar just up from the hotel where I was staying, and it was pardon me, free to get in. So I thought, oh yeah, this will be good. And unfortunately, I missed out. Well, it is nice though. Anywho, I'm going to stop it here, and we'll be back hopefully from Edinburgh Castle. We're firing some people out of a cannon.
Hi, I'm Michael from Emotus, and you're listening to Judy's Blast FM. You can catch Emotus on www.myspace.com/Emotus, and our album Smokescreen is out at the moment on iTunes, available for download and digital distribution, with a hard copy due out in June, July this year.
Welcome back to ErkPod episode 345, now coming to you from outside the Edinburgh Castle. Now, you might remember a bit earlier in the episode that I was waiting around for the 1 o'clock cannon firing session, which is used as a time signal to say, hey, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, synchronise your watches, sort of thing. And yesterday, I spoke about not hearing it being in the centre of town. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, I spoke to a couple of the tour guides who said that the cannon actually isn't fired on Sundays, and the best place to be at 1 o'clock to hear the cannon fire is to actually be here at the castle, which is where I am. The noise that you're hearing in the background is a construction crew. And what they're actually doing is that they're taking down temporary grandstands that were here for the Edinburgh Military Tattoo. Now, of course, August is a busy time here in Edinburgh. You've got the Edinburgh Festival and associated events. And one of the events was the Edinburgh Military Tattoo. So, in front of the castle, what they've got here is that there's a paved area, basically maybe the size of just over a normal tennis court, maybe a bit more, maybe two tennis courts side by side, and around it they've created an amphitheatre of temporary grandstands. Like you'd see at a car race at a street circuit, for instance. So these seats are very functional for the 3 weeks that the Edinburgh Military Tattoo are here. But however, they've decided, or it's part of the contract, I'm not exactly sure, that the grandstands must be taken down each year and then put up again for next year's tattoo. Now, to me, it sounds like a bit of a waste, because the amount of events that you could possibly have here, and you could leave the seats and everything here permanently, or you could just... But I'm not sure how that would go heritage-wise, because these would be classified as temporary structures. Even though they are here for 3 weeks, I don't hear anyone complaining about these blue seated grandstands around. but to have them here permanently might be a bit of an issue. So maybe that's why they're here for just a temporary basis. And as luck would have it, I arrived as the tattoo was ending. But I can dare imagine that it would be sold out like weeks in advance anyway. So it's about 5 minutes to one. There's a lot of people around with 5 minutes to go before the cannon is fired. And so I dare say that I'm in a great spot to be able to hear pardon me, the cannon fire. The castle, of course, has been the site of many battles between England and Scotland over the years. And at one stage, the Scots even partially demolished or fully demolished it. But it's been rebuilt. And the Scottish flag is up there on the flagpole, flying in the prime position. It's a marvellous stone building. Words, and especially my words, can't really do it justice. It is one of the most well-known, if not the most well-known, landmark here in Edinburgh. Now, the tour guides were saying that there are actually parts of the castle that are still used for something resembling their original purpose. That there are still active members of the UK Defence Forces actually stationed here at the Edinburgh Castle. So what I'm going to do now is that I am just going to remain silent. I just sort of let the ambience take over. There's so many people just walking around. We'll see if we can get a little bit closer, although I don't think it's going to matter where I stand. Just reading a plaque here near this spot in 1625. Sir William Alexander of Menstrie, Earl of Stirling, received sacerdotal lawful possession of the royal province of Nova Scotia by the ancient and symbolic ceremony of delivery of earth and state from Castle Hill by a representative of the king. He also 1625, 1637, the Scottish baronets of Nova Scotia received sacerdote of their distant barons. Wow, there's some history in this place. I leave a gift on you. A gift on you, the more, the muscle. I take my vodka and I say, leave that on the bill for you. I will see you afterwards. I take my bottle of vodka.
You're at the shrine.
Oh,
Well, folks, I think that was it. The cannon, I believe that went off. Definitely didn't hear anybody, see anybody jump. Although, having said that, I'm not exactly right near where it would be fired from. Well, that was a bit of an anticlimax. I'm going to enjoy some lunch. I'm going to enjoy some lunch now. Have some KFC with me. And I'll be back later once I've actually walked through the castle a bit.
This is Matt Stevens at the London Eye, and you're listening to IRC FM. And I'm at www.mattstevensguitar.com.
Welcome back to episode 345 of IRC Pod. Dateline, Tuesday the 30th of August 2011, Edinburgh Waverley Station, Edinburgh, Scotland. It's the end of my couple of days in Edinburgh, and I did make it. I do have to move on.
11:45, first Scotrail service to Glasgow Queen Street. Calling it Haymarket, Linlithgow, Thurnham, Fawkett High, and Glasgow Queen Street. Platform 13 for the 11:45 first Scotrail service to Glasgow Queen Street.
Anywho, yes, I am at Edinburgh Waverley, just waiting to depart for Glasgow.
Please do not leave your luggage unattended on the station. Luggage left unattended may be removed without warning, or destroyed or damaged by the security services.
So, yes, it's time to leave Glasgow. I could stay here for a lot longer. Actually, seriously thinking about doing the whole Edinburgh Fringe Festival next year. I reckon that'd be cool. Can you imagine it? And I was sort of wondering out loud on Twitter last night if anyone, apart from anyone who's actually performing in the show or the shows or anyone who lives here, I wonder if there's anyone who actually comes to watch the entire Fringe Festival. You know, not a performer or any of the event staff or anything like that, or not anyone that's local, but I wonder if there's anyone who actually travels here for the entire... for the entire festival. I think that'd be a very interesting...
In line with legislation and in the interest of comfort and safety, this station operates a non-smoking policy.
I think that'd be an interesting one to find out. There's so much going on here, of course you won't get to see everything. As I was reading on Wikipedia last night, there's a mixture of the Edinburgh International Festival, there's the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, then there's the Edinburgh Three Fringe Festival. So, or just the Edinburgh Festival, just to sort of tie all those into one. You certainly, in a couple of days, couldn't do it justice in a couple of days, but I did see some interesting acts on my way back from Edinburgh Castle. And by the way, Edinburgh Castle was awesome. If you can, if you do go there, either pick up one of the audio guides, which you can just basically walk around the castle yourself, and if you see a sign with a number on it, you put the number into the device and it tells you about it. Or, even better yet, one of the many free guides that are walking around, you can go on a free guided tour. And I sort of combined a little bit of both, especially when you've got the Scottish guys and the Scottish girls with their accents. You know, it sort of adds some sort of authenticity to it that the guided audio tour doesn't seem to have, in a way. It's actually a little strange, because I was, you know, you think of how you see a castle on TV, or you see a castle on TV, or you see it like in cartoons and things like that, and you sort of think about, you've got like the outer walls and everything like that, and then of course you've got like the Great Hall and all that sort of stuff, and places where all the various people sleep. But you don't tend to think of it as a little community with all separate buildings that you can actually drive between. But yes, you can actually, as I try and keep out of the wind yet again, you can actually, if you're authorised to do so, of course, you can actually drive between the separate buildings. And they have lots of different buildings for different things, and some of them are purely there now for ceremonial purposes and for historical reasons. However, there are still some that get used for things like government functions, visiting heads of states and whatever. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, I wasn't that impressed with the firing of the gun. I would have thought that would have been a lot louder than what it was, even though I was right at the front of the castle. He sort of, in a way, I was in the wrong spot, but it's, you know, really hard to pick a right spot, I suppose, if you don't know where you are. As one of many diesel rail cars depart heading for Glasgow, my train isn't on the platform yet. I'm just going to keep on the service that I booked on, even though I can get on any one of these services. I'm just going to stay on the one that I was booked on. So Edinburgh Castle, very, very nice. Lots of people up there. And it was as a few people said to me, I must see attraction while I was here in Edinburgh. I did that. That was cool. On the way back to the hotel, I was passing down the high street area of the city, and I was and I saw a young lady. She was wearing like a tartan skirt and a green tartan skirt and a green singlet. And she was a street performer. So I thought, oh yeah, I'll just drop in and see what's going on here. And she was a... she juggled. And she also rode one of those very tall unicycles as well. Hang on, you couldn't really say... I thought I saw a little bit of juggling there. And also there was the... she had one of those big hoops of fire that she was twirling around, like hoop style, around herself. And so it actually turns out that Tina, the lady that I was watching, is actually from Sydney as well. So I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and totally out of my control, and not something that I'd planned. I'd actually seen two Australian acts, one English act, one Japanese act, and an Australian street performer. So I did have to wonder, was I at the Australian Fringe Festival and not at the Edinburgh Festival? I actually have in my bag a complete program for the festival, and it is absolutely massive. And I think I would come back. I don't know if it's going to be next year. Although next year around about, next year in August actually is when the next one would be, obviously, and I think that'd be a good time. I'm just trying to think with the Olympics in London and everything, but I think actually that'd be a good time to basically be in Edinburgh for the whole month. I think that'd be rather cool, actually. So we have that, and so after watching Tina's act and talking to her a little bit afterwards, it was actually quite interesting to think that all of this. Actually, quite interesting when you think about it. The amount of stuff that Tina had with her, like her unicycle that folds up, the various things that she was juggling and trying to catch while she was on the unicycle, and also like the Ring of Fire and what she needed to light the Ring of Fire, and also to make a bird. I says to her, I have enough trouble trying to get my normal bag through things like customs and, border security and the whole box and dice. So how do you go with stuff like flammable liquids and, burning fires of hoops and, unicycles and all of that box and dice? And she was saying that as a performer at the Fringe Festival, you got to get permits and the whole box and dice, and so you can get exemptions and the like, so that they are pre-warned that you'll be carrying these sort of items. Because I can't imagine that, you'd want to be purchasing said items every place that you go. It's actually her first performance in Edinburgh, and hopefully she'll stay in touch. I have left her my contact details, so hopefully she'll stay in touch. Now, this is my train arriving now onto the platform.
Security personnel tour the station 24 hours a day.
Oh, that's nice to know. Thank you, announcement lady. Security.
Please do not leave your luggage unattended on the station. Luggage left unattended may be removed without warning or destroyed or damaged by the security services.
My train is here. My train is here. I'm about to board it. When I'm allowed to, of course. And so I returned to the hotel room after seeing Tina's performance yesterday. I had some leftover KFC that I had with me. And I get to the hotel room only to find that someone is vacuuming it. And this is 4 or 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm thinking that's a bit strange, because normally you'd be... all your housekeeping and everything would be well and truly done by then. And so I was just going to go down I was just going to go down to reception and wait. And I bumped into one of the staff in the lift, and she told me that after the problem of having no water yesterday, when the water came back on, my taps must have been on. Well, it's hard to tell if your taps are on or off. I had a lot of trouble with the taps trying to figure out the hot water and things. And it mainly figured out that I couldn't figure out the hot water was because I had no hot water. Yeah, so I had no water. Hang on, someone's trying to give me sign language for the window. Sorry, I can't hear you. Hang on. There's a lady trying to give me sign language for the window. No, it appears she was worried about my bag was slightly unzipped. Anywho, so yeah, I spoke to the lady in reception, and she said, "Oh, we've given you a new room. Your other room is flooded." She says, "Yeah, your room is flooded, so we've given you a new one that actually transferred everything over to the new room," which was cool. And so I actually got a better room out of it, which was cool. So when I went back to the old room this morning just to check it out, I went and retrieved a shirt and a pair of jeans that I still had there. And, it was still being dried out. So I reckon I did alright. I got a better room out of it, so that was all good. So I'm about to leave Edinburgh. Next stop, Glasgow. Talk to you from there. Next episode, of course, will be 346. And that will be with our Japanese friend. With some Japanese comedy, so that'll be awesome. And then after that, episode 347 will come to you from Glasgow. So until then, I'm Merc. Top of the morning to you. Good night, Interweb.